I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember De Leon?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
Here.
So I would accept a motion for approval of the agenda.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So we have the honor of having King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn here with us tonight, and he's going to give us a state of the county address that he usually does every year. So welcome, Reagan Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If I could approach the council here, at least the one of federal prosecutors walked across the courtroom and didn't ask permission, he would get roundly criticized.
Here's some. Thank you.
These are, it's a one-page handout, which is kind of summarizing what's going to talk about. And then snow and ice plowing around.
Okay.
Well, Happy New Year. Great to see everyone here. Exciting. Congratulations on the elections and a new council. This town has enormous history, and it's been a privilege to represent this community here. And before me, my mom served in Congress and represented this area as well. And so it's a special place in our hearts for the city of Black Diamond and the surrounding community. As I try to do, I like to come to all my cities at least once a year. Sometimes that misses a little bit, but glad to be back here and just kind of give you a sense of what's happening, big picture at the county, and ways that what we're doing intersects with the city is going to be doing, so we all can kind of be on the same page moving forward. Before I get into that, my longtime chief of staff, Tom Goff, who, as you know, has family from this area and attends church here, Tom was promoted to the director of King County's Municipal Relations. So he'll be overseeing the relationship between the county and 39 cities and other special purpose governments like flood and fire districts. So he's it was tough to lose him, but I got a great person that's filling his shoes now.
Are you trying to go out the door, man?
Okay, so Cody Eccles. Cody spent the last number of years as a policy director for the Washington Council of University Presidents, the six public universities. For that, he was with the Washington State Senate. He is an attorney. He's got a JD. He's got his MBA as well and an LLM in taxation. I don't even know what that is, but it's good. My style is I hire people who are vastly smarter than me, and then I listen to them. So that's the way, that's my particular governing style. I don't always agree with him, but I listen to him. So anyway, Cody's going to be working with us on a lot of different issues, and hope you get a chance to get to know him as well. He grew up in, what, Sumner? Lake Taps area, so not too far down the road here from past Enumclaw. So real quick, and I'll try to be quick, and maybe if you're comfortable, questions, but just real quick on budget. We have about a $11.5 billion biennial budget of the county. As you know, we are nearly 2.5 million Seattle and 38 other cities. The county has about 16,000 full-time employees, and that is our budget covering all kinds of different items. We are now doing it in a biennial way. So last year was not a budget year. This year will be a full budget year where we will focus on that. We did do what you do too also as a supplemental budget, which we did about $450 million and some basic spending items that we worked on. So that's been good. We did some investments in criminal justice. New outpatient programs for folks inside the criminal justice system, really working hard to try and reduce recidivism for folks that offend and find ways to get them into drug treatment. We have a veterans court and an incarceration program where folks that were veterans in the military are serving with other veterans, and they tend to have a very low recidivism rate vis-a-vis the general population, which is really, really good. And we're providing a bunch of training and job services. So we're really putting an emphasis on that, because there was a point at which it's almost one stat was as high as 94% recidivism over 6 years, and that's just a revolving door of justice. So we're really trying to work in that area. Another program that I was championing, you may or may not agree with, but it's called Project Homeward Bound, designed to provide one-way transportation for chronically homeless people to places around the country where they can get better care from family members and others. And so it was highly controversial, a lot of criticism, but at the end of the day, I got $100,000 for that program. And so that's something that we will be working on. It doesn't mean that we're busing homeless folks from Seattle to Black Diamond. They have to meet a whole number of criteria, including having a willing recipient for them, generally a family member, sometimes a close friend. And it isn't busing inside King County. It's busing or even an adjacent county. None of the adjacent counties. It's got to be farther than that where we can get folks the care that they need. A lot of work with drug and alcohol recovery, another million for our mental illness and drug dependency fund to enhance those recovery services as well. So we are making some investments there, and that isn't just to address addicts in recovery or folks transitioning out of jail. It's also in part designed to try in the early stages to reduce some of the homeless, chronic homelessness that we are seeing in King County. And as you know, we have arguably the highest, Seattle has the highest, arguably the homeless population per capita of any city in the United States. So the real challenges that we're facing there as well. Snow.
It's falling.
It is falling outside as we speak. Everybody asks me, I don't know why, whether it's going to snow this year. I've been really good at calling it. I called it last year. I called it this year. It's going to happen. We have lots of different microclimates around King County. What's happening by the waterfront in Seattle is not what's happening up here. You know, you don't have to go very far to where we are and some of these higher elevations to see more significant snow events. And so we've been working hard to try and enhance and expand our snow plowing in those unincorporated area roads that exist just outside of the city limits and go a long ways, a lot of commuting corridors that we use. And so I champion a program. We've identified 70 more miles, new miles, beyond what we've done in past years where snow plowing will occur. You'll see that in the red lines that are in that area. There's some right to the west. Quite a bit down just south of here, you know, in the Cranes Corner area as well, where we're going to do some more plowing. So hopefully, augmented with some of the city's efforts, we can get that done. Mm-hmm. And I guess maybe afterwards, Mayor Benson, if you could, just would love any feedback if some of that was helpful at all, if it didn't work, if there are challenges, if roads didn't get plowed, I'd be more than interested to hear, because we can't fix problems if we don't know where the problems are. So. Last fall, Mayor Benson requested that my office come out and evaluate the Lake Sawyer Weir. You know that structure right there, mm-hmm. along the road there, that strange-looking concrete thing. And I've seen it a number of times, but I sent out the executive director of the Flood Control District, and also Cody came out, as well as Tom came out. And we noticed the deteriorating culverts running under 244th. We saw the quality of some of the concrete there. And a result of that site visit, I took two budget actions as chair of the Flood Control District. And first, made sure that the most recent Flood Control District budget included funding to study that weir. And so that's in there. And the study is going to make recommendations on the weir's maintenance and operation. There's been a long need for improvements on that weir. And so this report is a first step in determining, once we have the report, how the county can be a partner in the effort moving forward, how we can improve that. Also, second, was able to help provide over $2 million in funding to the city of Black Diamond to replace deteriorating culverts on Covington Creek with a bridge that will offer dependable long-term flood protection. And I know that for years the city has been trying to sort of find funding for this project, and I'm pleased to help make that investment. I've been kind of chairing that district for a decade now, 10 years. I can't believe it in some shape or form. But I let Dave Updegrove take it on this year so I could focus on another assignment, which I will chair the Local Services Committee, which has jurisdiction over all of the unincorporated area issues. And if you took all the residents of unincorporated King County, just outside of the city limits, all of those together would actually make the second largest city in the state behind Seattle. There are 250,000+ people that live in that area. So there's a lot of challenges there, and they don't really have a mayor and city council to represent them. They've got just a couple of King County Council members that represent those constituencies, and it makes it sort of more interesting and challenging as well to do that representation. But I'll be chairing that committee as well. Let me shift gears over to parks. The Lake Wilderness Trail, I want to make sure you're aware of a developing issue related to that just north of Black Diamond. The 2019 Parks Levy included funding to pave portions of the Cedar to Green River Trail at Lake Wilderness in Maple Valley during quite extensive community forums. There was strong opposition to paving the trail by some, not all, but some, I'd say most, in the local community. And because of that opposition, I passed a proviso to put on hold the project and require the Parks Department to consider alternative uses of the Parks Levy funding. The community has expressed some interest in pursuing an alternative project that would extend the trail south to connect to the Black Diamond Open Space Trail System, including the additional 6 miles of trail that King County helped build in 2018. So we've been around, we've been all over the place together and taking a look at that. So you know, the city of Maple Valley is also expressed strong interest in extension and is working with the Parks Department. So that report should be due back by June 30th. I'll share it with the city just as soon as it comes back. And I'm hopeful the county will undertake the terrain extension project, which will tie the communities of Maple Valley and Black Diamond together with a really robust and trail for the future. But as always, your strong input matters to me. I don't think the county should be dictating where these trails necessarily go. It's your call as local leaders, and you got to tell me so I can help advocate for your interests with the King County Parks Department. Grant opportunities, I've earmarked $5,000 for the City of Black Diamond to fund a youth and amateur sports program, and it can be used for a variety of reasons, including increasing access to youth, participation in quality physical activity programs, facilities, and parks. That's something that it should be on your radar screen. And then second, I earmarked $2,000 community service area grant for the Black Diamond Historical Society, and that's just happened. It's all, but we announced it to the center today. Okay, so we made a phone call. I don't think the call's been returned. So you're, but we just made the call. So anyway, these are good things we're trying to bring down to, because you know this money isn't coming out here. It's going to West Seattle or Bainbridge, or not Bainbridge, but Vashon Island or some of the other areas. So I just want to make sure one of my jobs I feel is trying to advocate for the make sure that those grants are distributed equitably across the county. There are a couple of other grants I want to make you aware of. For culture grants, that's an arts fund grant program. They have a substantial amount of money, and arts can be pretty broad in terms of what that means. Those are due March 4th, and then there's a youth and amateur sports grant fund, and that application will be due on January 29th as well. That's in addition to what we've already provided. So it's always good for the city to consider taking advantage of those. I spoke to it briefly. My new role on the council, I'll continue as vice chair of the King County Council. And instead of chairing Flood, I'll chair the Local Services Regional Roads and Bridges Committee. And I don't know, a lot of other stuff, but it's always interesting. I always try and take the committee assignments that are most relevant to the district. Let me flag for you, and it's on your one-page handout, some potential taxes. There's going to be a lot of runs at tax increases from King County's perspective. As you recall, I'll give you sort of the political background on this so it kind of comes into focus. Council Member Sawant at the Seattle City Council, a couple others, were pushing a head tax for Amazon and for others based on tax per employee. That sort of got beat back a year and a half ago. And then the inside scoop, of course, is Amazon put $1.5 million in the campaign to defeat Sawant, and she won. So now that tax is back up, and they are considering it seriously. Some in the business community have decided that they'd rather have King County consider a tax as opposed to the city of Seattle, that what they might get would be a more moderate, sort of more mundane head tax of some kind. I think you should raise taxes when you have a very clear identified need. This is a kind of a cart before the horse. You might really, you want to identify the need before you raise the tax. Right now, we're talking about raising the taxes, and we'll figure out what to spend it on later. So I want you to be aware of that issue. Also, 976, Tim Imons, $30 car tabs passed again, as has happened a number of times before. That will impact Metro and Sound Transit. The county and the city sued, are in courts right now to try to block that. Who knows what's going to happen, but if that is sustained, I know that Dow and Jenny will go on the ballot with some kind of a sales tax to backfill what that took out. The problem with that, for your consideration, I'm not telling you how to vote or what to do here, but is that instead of being a Sound Transit district tax, okay, or which is how car tabs are funded for Sound Transit, that would be a countywide tax. So that would come out to places like Maple Valley, Black Diamond, and Covington, and you'd have to pay that sales tax, and it would simply backfill what's going on with Metro and Sound Transit. So just kind of be aware of that one.
So since we don't have Sound Transit, that would be an additional tax.
It would be a new tax for you, yes, to benefit Sound Transit and Metro, so, which aren't exactly whipping through the downtown streets of Black Diamond very often. So I'm flagging these. You know, not all this is going to happen, but there's going to be a run at all these. Another one which is interesting is we have Harborview Medical Center. It's the only level one trauma facility in the Pacific Northwest. The closest next one is in San Francisco. From time to time, we go out to a bond. The council will vote on that to fund that. So there'll be a lot of discussion about how that will be framed and how big it will be, et cetera. So be aware of that. And then there's another one that I'm a little bit more sympathetic to be candid, and that is the unincorporated area roads tax. So there are about 1,600 miles of unincorporated area roads in King County. It's only paid by those people that live in unincorporated and have owned property in unincorporated King County. So if you live inside the city limits of Black Diamond, you don't pay for that. But because of annexations and incorporations taking that population away, that tax amount has actually dwindled in its overall amount that it's funding, because sections are being brought into incorporated areas like Kalani, for example, and these others. And so that's a challenge. So that may go on the ballot as well, but if it does, it will be just an unincorporated King County. So that's some of the stuff that's coming at you. Did I forget any
you can think of?
Oh, yes, there's a fifth one as well. You might remember two years ago, there was a levy, Access for All was what it was called. It was an arts sales tax increase that was proposed, and it failed. They want to take another run at that this year. So, you know, I just, in terms of being a gatekeeper, because most of the stuff has to come before the county council to put it on the ballot, sort of, you know, you start throwing five tax increases on the ballot, and you're going to, you know, we have to prioritize what's most important. So we'll be thinking about that, and I just want your input as well, sort of on what you think is good, is not good for the city of Black Diamond. And it always helps me when I can go to my colleagues and say, well, most of my cities are opposed, in favor, at least want to see it on the ballot, don't want it on the ballot, et cetera. So I think I laid that out. So I think I've covered most of the major subject areas that are up right now. We do have a biennial budget this year. That will be important. And all these tax proposals will be the significant issues going on. So that's what I have. If Mayor Benson would be comfortable. I'm happy to take any questions.
Do you have any questions? Christiana?
Sure. Thank you so much for being here, too, today to just lay out the agenda for the county. We just really appreciate having that one-on-one time to hear more about what's going on. For the record slash for just a better understanding in the community, as you were discussing the transit tax and the potential loss of funds with, for example, the car taps, could you explain what that might do also to the local roads projects around here as well? Because I think there was some understanding that some of those car taps would be impacting some of the projects related to either the reconstruction or expansion or development of new roads and other related infrastructure in Black Diamond.
So it has. So I can't speak to how it would impact inside the city limits of Black Diamond, your budget director.
So the car tabs we use for maintenance on the road. That's all we use it for.
For the maintenance.
So that's just maintenance. So and we're not. There's no projects. We just won't have maintenance funds, and it will have to come out of the general fund.
Has to come out of the general fund. So it's a hit. So it is a hit. There's no question. There's no question that
it's about $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well. Thanks. That's helpful, Carol, because I don't have the top of my head. And it's similar with respect to the unincorporated area roads. It's very little, very small fraction of what we use for roads. We've done a number of things to sort of backfill and get roads up so at least can fill the potholes and a few other things. But there's no money for or something like anywhere between $150 and $400 million short on roads fund every year. And that's a problem. So, you know, historically, I'm sort of anti-tax. In fact, I oppose more taxes than anyone else on the council. But with things like emergency services, police and fire, I've been very eager to support taxes and sometimes for infrastructure as well. That's sort of my priority list that I've been and therefore. But however, that $30 car tab really dramatically impacts the transit agencies, both Metro and particularly Sound Transit, too, as well, because all those assumptions were based on that in terms of what they can build out. So it'll be an interesting regional discussion. Thank you for the question.
Councilmember?
Can you do us a favor and keep us up to date on how they reword these taxes? Because they really do kind of hide behind tag words and don't let us know it's really being taxed. This head tax thing, you can take that in Seattle and leave it there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not – we taxed enough. And I love the way they try and word it and some of the hit pieces. At least we have a way to talk to our constituents about how constituents, my mouth isn't working, on what the tax really is.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's, you know, the shell game is amazing on the taxes that we get sometimes. And so if we actually have some understanding of what it really means, not what it is, but what it really means, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I can break it down as best I can. You know, the interesting thing about the head tax is, you know, if you make it a countywide tax, and all of a sudden businesses right here in Black Diamond are going to pay a tax on really that was designed for something like Seattle, I'm not sure, you know, where the break point is. T-Mobile is in my district. Boeing has facilities in my district. I mean, you start making some very broad application maybe. You know, if you want a tax in Seattle, that's fine. The nice thing about that is at least those companies can and have in the past, moved to other places like Renton and like Bellevue. At least gives them the option of a countywide tax. I get worried we're killing the goose that lays the golden egg here because right now our economy is doing pretty well. So we just need to be careful. And I will try and break those down as they come forward. You betcha. Council member.
Council member Page.
Yeah, so I guess to me, close to home here, we have major roads that serve this community and this area, Highway 18, Maple Valley Highway, Kent Kangley, I think it's 516. What can you kind of tell us about the likelihood or probability that we're ever going to see any development in those roads, given the growth that we're seeing out in this area? And kind of, you know, what we can do?
Yeah.
You know, what can we do as a council to help you?
Councilmember, it's a great question. One of the great challenges that I face is, you know, this city is expanding. Enumclaw is expanding. The unincorporated areas around here are expanding. You've got Maple Valley Highway as a principal spine, 516 as well, as a principal spine. But those are state roads, right? And we were able to get them designated highways of statewide significance, which will help funding. But the infrastructure isn't necessarily keeping pace with what the growth will be. But there's some good news around, and I'm going to throw a bone to Senator Mark Mullett, who and others who have worked really hard, and they've got a nice development up Highway 18 where it connects to Interstate 90, where we'll have a, what is it, the formation? It's called a diamond formation. There's
double diamond,
right? And so that and the funding's there. That's going to help substantially in terms of those of you who take that, right? You know, there's a lot of, we all know the ways to kind of sneak down into Black Diamond from various places in the urban corridor, but that's a big one. And so that will be, I think, a nice help. Some years ago, I was able to get something to the voters that would create a flyover ramp from 405 to Maple Valley Highway, and that was really, really close to passing, and it didn't quite. So, but we'll get there, and that's constantly what I'm trying to work on. So when we do have opportunities for those large public works infrastructure programs, having support from cities is always helpful. Thank you for the question.
Councilmember De Leon.
I guess to piggyback also what Councilmember Page was addressing, I'm just also going to throw that out there as a possibility, but what do you see coming from the King County end on a particular stretch of one of our roads with 288th, how that's also in line with county property and there are some county jurisdictions related? What do you see as a possibility that Black Diamond and other cities could come together to work on getting something like a roundabout or something in that area of 288th so that we can have a safer in and out of, you know, for traffic?
Yeah, I want to work with you. If I could get this this roads levy through committee and into the public in passing, that'll give us a lot more flexibility to put additional facilities like that. I was able to get planning, initial design money for roundabouts a little bit up the road now off of Squaw Hobart where Cedar Grove pulls in, where May Valley pulls in. So we are making progress. Obviously, maintenance seems to take precedence over increasing capacity, but I look forward to working with you, council member, on trying to make that happen. So, roundabouts are doable. You know, in my view, and you may not all agree with me, but I do think it should be four lanes, you know, all the way up through, up into to Black Diamond at least, so that people can get in and out of the new developments that are happening here. So perhaps someday we'll get there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Oh, I'm sorry.
So 288, you had mentioned some of the trail system improvements. One of the most glaring improvements I see is the bridge or lack of bridge over 288th.
Right.
Has that been looked at all? Is that part of the development plans to the trail system at this point?
So just a reminder, did we look at 288th?
Yeah, we did.
We did. Okay, so we went down and looked at 288th. Carol, you were there, right?
Yeah,
we did
look at 288th, so. with Tom.
Yeah, so I can't speak to where exactly Parks is right now in terms of that. He was in a meeting today, so.
Yeah, I met with Parks this morning. They put out a proposal that talked about bridging the train trestle. The question was asked if they explored 288, and there was a number of improvements that they wanted to make along the way to that train trestle. And so we requested they go back, look at 288, at least in feasibility, how much it would cost, so that it can be part of
I'm committed to try and put.
Yeah, the only reason I mention that is because as we talk about improvements in roads, and particularly if we're expanding the amount of traffic that's going there, that's just a nightmare for people.
Oh yeah.
Traveling on the trail, trying to do Frogger across 288.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah, I totally agree.
So I just would hate.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's going to die there.
Until there's a tragedy.
I'd like to do something over the top of that, as well as a little bit farther up north. There's another one just like it.
Councilmember Deedy.
So yeah. I think it's been, gosh, since rails and trails have been discussed, it's been 4 years maybe that we've been discussing getting a bridge there. and the safety for the citizens. And when King County wants to do the rails to trails, that portion is a scary one because you got that hairpin turn right there and people coming off of, off of 169 onto 288 going pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So every time Janie and I or Mayor Benton have gone, it's always one of our top questions at those park meetings is how are you going to handle, you know, your bicyclists and your hikers and your walkers safely get across 288?
Yeah, it's a huge issue. I'm committed to your vision on this. I hope we can have clarity in the next 6-8 months on that. Get a plan together. We've done it before in other parts of the county, so we'll work on that for sure. That'd be good. It's high time. One of the challenges is Parks has this very stubborn idea of how they want to do their trails, and so sometimes they don't, I'm saying King County Parks, they don't do a very good job of communicating with local jurisdictions on what they want to do. They want their super wide trails with all these other things, and at the end of the day, we need trails that work, not safe. Booking it down through the steep dirt and across the road, and Frogger is a good word. I'm going to use Frogger. Okay. Well, thanks so much for having me, Mayor. Appreciate the chance to come, council members. Congratulations on your elections, and just so delighted to see the direction that Black Diamond is heading, and it's good. It's good stuff. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got another speech, so better go over Ken. Thank you.
So I would accept a motion for the consent agenda.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now it's time for our first public comments. The persons wishing to address council, please come up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Yes?
Hi, my name is Bambi Fuller, and I am reading the statement on behalf of Alicia Bush. We are both part of a group called Stand Up. Esteemed Black Diamond City Council, my name is Alicia Bush. I am a community organizer and co-leader of a group called Stand Up. We are a grassroots organization supporting the Greater Maple Valley Black Diamond Washington area that seeks to educate, engage, and inspire our individual neighbors as well as the community at large, state legislators, and national policymakers. We work to remove barriers, create safe places, and empower others through compassion and advocacy without discrimination. We strive to be a globally conscious network of visible accomplices to the marginalized members of our community. As part of this effort, we regularly discuss instances of overt and subvert racism and hate that happens in our communities and how we as a group will address it. Many times, this involves reaching out to the affected parties and offering support, solidarity, and compassion. It is time that we do more. Over the last several years, we have seen significant increase in acts of overt racism, hate, bigotry, and intolerance. Black Diamond is an exceptional community, but not immune from hate and hate crimes. On January 10th, Nazis were in your community. Patriot Front, a neo-Nazi hate group, posted vicious, hate-filled lies about immigrants, Jews, Native Americans, and other minorities along your beautiful historic Railroad Avenue. These Nazis also spread hate in Enumclaw, and we have seen it in Maple Valley and Renton as well. This group has also been known to affix razor blades at the corners of their stickers so as to injure anyone removing them. They are terrorists, domestic enemies. Hate cannot feel welcome here. It is critical that this city and community takes a swift and very public stand to show its increasingly diverse community, citizens, and surrounding areas that hate is simply not tolerated here. Hate and hate crime should not be political. They affect us all. They damage our communities, our people, and our safety. Hate is not an opinion. It is a value system that must not be ignored. Silence and inaction is an endorsement and consent. It is proven over and over again that this rhetoric, defacement, and statements are more than that. They directly lead towards targeting marginalized communities such as Jews, immigrants, Muslims, LGBTQ community, just to name a few. This hateful propaganda emboldens and incites acts of violence. How many more people need to die before we collectively take a stand? I constantly fear, as a person of color, will I be next? To clarify, she is a person of color, as am I. I am Hispanic. We have to take sustained, decisive action to reject this and all brands of hatred, oppression, and marginalization. And this has to happen now.
About a year ago. Your time is up.
Excuse me?
Your time is up.
Okay. Thank you.
Robin?
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. It's been a while since I've been here. The Constitution of the State of Washington, Section 24, states, quote, the right of the individual citizen to bear arms in defense of himself or the state shall not be impaired, close quote. Section 3 states, quote, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, close quote. Section 32 states, quote, a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles is essential to the security of individual right and the perpetuity of free government, close quote. I am no lawyer, but I'm assuming that this last section means that the fundamental principles should be visited frequently to be sure individual rights and a free government are being upheld. I bring these sections of our state constitution to your attention due to the numerous bills before both the state, House, and Senate with the express purpose of impairing gun ownership and thereby the right of the individual for self-defense. 10 bills in the House and 8 in the Senate. In fact, these bills affect not just gun ownership. When they are passed into law, the state legislature will make millions of law-abiding citizens into instant criminals. I would draw your attention to what is currently taking place in the state of Virginia at this moment. This is exactly what Washington State is heading towards with passage of these bills. I-1639 limited the sale of certain firearms and magazines. These new bills outright ban owning them. So the question remains, what happens to the millions of law-abiding citizens that own these now banned items? Will law enforcement agencies begin going door-to-door to confiscate them? Will they need a warrant? Will there be due process before the citizens are deprived of their property? These are serious questions each one of you need to answer because you took an oath to uphold the state constitution as well as the U.S. Constitution, regardless of your personal opinions. Several Washington counties and some cities passed Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions after the passage of I-1639. I am asking this city to draft and pass a similar resolution, a resolution which states that the city of Black Diamond will stand for our state and U.S. constitutions and protect the right of your citizens to defend themselves by keeping and bearing arms, and that right will not be impaired in Black Diamond. I realize that a resolution does not carry the weight of law, but certainly it does carry the desire of the city to levels of power above the city. Remember, this is about upholding the Constitution, regardless of your personal opinions. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. The next item on the agenda is a public hearing for an ordinance regarding changes to Chapter 10.04 and 10.20 relating to parking regulations, Ms. Kincaid.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. What you have before you is an ordinance that would essentially repeal Chapter 1010 in the Black Diamond Municipal Code and replace it with a new chapter. It's all related to parking of vehicles. The existing Chapter 1010 is really not adequate. In fact, it's pretty... It hardly has anything to say about parking at all, but we run into this is an ordinance where all the departments work together, police, public works, planning, and the MDRT team, because over the years, we have not had a good tool to use to be able to establish where within the public right-of-way it's appropriate for people to park and where it is not. So the existing Chapter 1010 and in its bare form has been really pasted into the new Chapter 1020. We didn't take anything away. We just added more language and more ways to be able to explain to the public where it's appropriate to park in the city right of way and where it isn't, to eliminate some of the dangerous problems that have been occurring over the years with people parking in places where they shouldn't be. So have basically, as I said, the ordinance would repeal the existing 1010, replace and adopt a new 1020, which is titled Parking, Loading, and Unloading. And then a few minor amendments to 10-4, which it reduces the fee that we had been charging. We've been charging $100 for parking violation down to $50. That's appropriate and more consistent with what other cities charge. And so this is really... The other section in 10-16-030 is amended because that's where it talks about the authority to impound vehicles, and it had a list in it that we sort of moved over in 10-20. It made more sense. It read better. It was easier for people to understand. And then in 10-16, just replaced it, you know, pointing people back to 10-20. So just to keep everything tight, consistent, clear, and be able to do when someone is parking somewhere where they ought not be parking, for the police to be able to go and ask them to move their car. And this is only in the public right-of-way, of course. Do you have any questions?
Councilmember Nelson?
Moving from $100 to $50, is that... I mean, I've got a couple of folks in our neighborhood that have been dealt with in parking their cars a certain way, and you know, if you make it less and less, it kind of defeats the purpose of having a fine. A fine's going to teach you a lesson at the end of the day. Is that a necessity in there?
Well, what we found is that when these fines went to the judge, she was she thought they were excessively high, and we weren't even getting anything. So
okay,
yeah.
Councilmember Deedy.
Like Barbara Kincaid stated, it has been through every committee meeting, and I think everybody's had some sort of input on this. I think lowering the fee is good. I mean, you don't want to have your, you know, because sometimes it's residents, sometimes it's people visiting, and maybe they didn't know or they didn't get told, you know, hey, you can't park there or you can't do this. So lowering the fee for now, I think, is good, that you're not, you know, gouging your customers, you know, that are coming to visit your city or your residents. So I was for lowering that fee. And there's a lot of good information in here. I hope everybody reads it and learns what you can and cannot do. Obviously, you're not to park, you know, have your vehicle overhanging onto the sidewalk or blocking any entrances for handicap or any of that item. So I'm fully supportive of passing this.
Thank you.
Councilmember Stout.
Does any of this inspire any additional signage throughout the city?
It actually gives the authority for the public works. So that was the other thing. The old ordinance didn't really give anybody the authority to do anything, but this has a section under authority for the public works director to post signage, parking signage.
Councilmember Dean.
I will also say it does help our police department with going out and saying the council, you know, the city has passed this ordinance, and these are the things you cannot do. So they have something when they get out there and talk to a resident or a visitor to show that, you know, they're just not, you know, out there telling them to move along, that there is actually codes within the city that they need to follow.
So any other questions, or I can sit down and you open the hearing up for public testimony?
So is there anyone wishing to address the public hearing? Mr. Williamson.
Andy Williamson, director of the Master Development Review Team. This gives us the tool. I can't tell you how important this parking issue is as we become more of an urban area with the smaller parking areas for the residents, and how we are trying to encompass the alley-loaded product, which is mandated to us to a certain percentage. This has been championed. And Barbara Kincaid and Jamie really took this up to take this because we have ongoing issues with alleys. You can mark them fire lanes. You can do that purpose. Firemen, God love them, but they do not want to be the enforcement arm of fire lanes. It didn't allow Jamie to and the police department to have the access of this. This now gives us a fire lane, whether it's public and or private, to be enforced. It is a continual struggle, not so much with the residents there, but during the builders. And I can't tell you, this is a tool we needed many months ago. So I would highly encourage you, from my department, we need this tool. And I'm glad that Councilmember Deedy also discussed about parking and hanging over the sidewalks. We didn't have that tool before. We have that tool. So we provide enough parking for their homes. We provide the parking alongside the streets. We just need that enforcement tool, or at least officers, to be able to have that communications with the citizens and part of education. So from the Master Development Review Team, we would encourage you to pass this tonight. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
Carolyn Harp, Black Diamond. And I have a question about Section 4, authority to impound, additional situations. Just looking at this, it looks like there aren't any such situations. It looks like they're all taken away. But then it says that there is something about Section 1020.010. Is there more information in that?
So to answer the question, the portions that were struck from Section 1016.030, those eight categories of authority to impound, those were removed from this section, from this part of the code, and moved to the new Chapter 1020.
So
they're now in 1020.010B.
Further?
Yeah, that's further.
Got it. Thank you.
There they all are.
Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. The next item on the agenda, we have no unfinished business, so new business is a resolution authorizing the mayor to solicit and select a consultant for fire services study. At the last work session that we had last week, we discussed at length about what our next steps were since we had the termination agreement with the fire department, and I got the impression that you were interested in doing a fire station study to determine what was the next steps that we would be taking and try to have some kind of a timeline on how this was going to work so we would have time to be able to meet the terms of the termination agreement with the fire department that we contract with, Mountain View. So is there any discussion? Councilmember Stout?
I have a statement about this because I think we need to have a lot more discussion. And so I'm just going to read my statement. I've sent this to all the council members, but it's probably new to most of you. And I took the opportunity to type it out so that I wouldn't forget all of the bits and pieces that have been floating through my head at 4 o'clock in the morning for the past week. So this is my statement. Mountain View Fire and Rescue provided us with a chart of estimated cost of service in Black Diamond based on per call cost and per station cost,
with updated numbers for 2015 through 2017. I'm not sure why the numbers of calls were increased for past years, since the assumption is that a call that occurred in that year would have been listed for that year and would not have shown up in a later year. I didn't really understand that. There were some crossouts and changed statistics. Also, the per station cost is an unusual reference point, as I assume stations are not exactly the same and probably do not figure in the budget exactly the same. It was divided exactly by seven. If the fire department's assessment is correct, it appears that since 2015 and probably since 2006, residents of Black Diamond have been paying only about half of the cost of fire service. I'm not sure why anyone would have allowed that to go on for 13 years. The only way we can afford to properly pay for fire service is for the citizens of Black Diamond to increase their property tax by a lot or to reallocate the funds we already have. I assume this would mean drastic cuts to the police department, the emergency management department, the court department, and cuts to the general budget wherever they could be made without using funds specifically designated by law for other purposes. The finance department has done a great job of keeping the city's budget in the black with money in reserve. Utility funds are healthy, as we've instituted incremental increases in rates to account for increases in the cost of living. They will need to do a major reorganization within the boundaries of the law to pay for fire service. Addressing the issue of asking the voters to agree to increasing their taxes to pay for fire service, my initial reaction is that they would reject this idea. And this is a complex issue that I myself have trouble understanding from the inside, having attended many meetings and read many documents related to the topic. How will this overwhelming volume of information be communicated to the citizens in a way that makes them want to pay higher property tax? Will we send out flyers or letters, knock on doors, hold special meetings, set up booths at community events? Who will do all of that, and how much will it cost? Can we get the taxpayers to agree to pay the full amount for fire service within the 3-year time frame before our contract with Mountain View expires for good? The four options that were put forward as solutions to our fire service dilemma were new contract with Mountain View Fire and Rescue, annexation into Mountain View Fire and Rescue, joining a regional fire authority, creating a new Black Diamond Fire Department, and I would like to add a fifth option of readjusting the City of Black Diamond budget to use the money we have to pay for fire service. I am concerned about spending money on a study now when we're already on a tight budget. What will we learn from a study that we don't already know? Will we take the advice of the consultant when it is given? Will we suddenly have enough money to pay for any of the options studied? Perhaps our dollars would be better spent on a consultant who can help us with voter education, a fire services campaign, and an election. I know that was a long, drawn-out statement, but this is where I am in my mind as a council member. How are we going to pay for our fire services? And I talked to the mayor this afternoon, and I think we probably do need to go forward with a fire services study. However, what it comes right down to is either the fire department needs to be able to accept the money that we have available, or we don't have enough money available and we need to get some money from someplace. And so that's my piece of the discussion. And I have a lot more questions than I have answers, but I think that's what we're here for right now. Thank you.
Councilmember Deedy.
Great letter. I think that we need to move forward with the fire study. And there's a couple of reasons. Well, there's one reason, is so that the citizens can see all the reasons, all the options out there, and what's the best fit for Black Diamond. So whether it's to merge in with a fire authority, or one of the options was form our own fire department, which I think is really expensive to do, or merging with Mountain View, and I think there was another choice in there. But once we get the study done, then council and citizens and city and the staff everybody can see that. We can have a work study. We can discuss them all. I'm sure the consultant will meet with all of us and go through everything. So I just think after so many years of being on the ad hoc committee, and we just need to close that committee after almost 7 years and just move forward with this. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll have a clear, precise direction. And everybody with Mountain View and with the city, we all know where we're going. There's no guessing or talk within the community about one thing that hasn't even been discussed. So I think that would be good to go forward with. There was something else that you stated, but I can't remember what it was now. But I think tonight would be good just to pass this and start moving forward.
Councilmember Nelson.
I thank you. I'm going to agree with Tammy for one reason. The studies we've had and the council we've had for the past 7 years has been the biggest black eye in the city. Nothing's been done. They stonewalled everything and didn't let anything go through. I think that there's definitely ways we can do this. I think that at the end of the day, I mean, they were talking about shutting the city down multiple times. To have an accurate, modern, right now view of what our options are is paramount for our for the citizens. And I think we need to get done right away and then focus on immediately once we figure out what it is, how to fund it. But right now we're funding stuff and we're looking at stuff that the ad hoc committee busted their butt to no avail because the council was a waste of time at the time. They wouldn't meet, they wouldn't agree, they wouldn't come together. It was hell for the council members that were here that actually cared about the city. So I'm just going to say that, Tammy, I'm with you. Aaron, I'm with you. But I think that it has to go from A to B to C. And just so you guys know with the fire department, you've got a council. The council is trying to be supportive and come together. We're not just kicking the can down the road and blowing smoke in your guys' face anymore like the past councils have. So that's why I moved to vote for this.
Councilmember.
Yes, and thank you so much for also putting out these really well thought out ideas in this letter and then reading it out to us tonight. I don't take the idea lightly of, you know, necessarily considering or raising taxes at this point, or really we have to do that with a lot of utmost care. But I found the last part of what you said in there really intriguing about, you know, spending money or being open to the idea of a consultant who helps us with voter education, fire services, campaigns, and an election. I found that to be really, if we go down the path of continuing with Mountain View and doing so via a levy of some kind or an election that asks voters about paying for the service, that we have to do it in a really informative manner to the voters. As somebody who came from the education field as a teacher, I know what it's like to have to see your services kind of on the line because of a levy, and that does have to be very properly communicated with the public so that they really understand what's at stake, especially if that levy were to fail. So as we continue on with these discussions, I am interested in seriously giving that idea a thought, but I would just mention that it's an especially important idea that if we proceed down that route, that we do engage with folks in the community and possibly with a consultant to really make sure that that levy has success in passing.
Well, I think one of the things that was discussed at the work study last week was that this study would also encompass how we would go about doing a levy and what it would look like and how much money we would need to raise to make whatever option we had work. So that was part of the consensus that I got, was that would be part of this study, would be to look at what a levy rate increase would be. Councilmember Oglesby.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to go forward with the fire consultant. I think the citizens of Black Diamond definitely deserve the education. We deserve the education. We're not pros. We don't know what the city is going to need in the future. I think a consultant will definitely open up our eyes and see exactly what we need now and as we grow as a community. So I am I want to move forward with this. I'm with Pat. Sooner the better. Let's get this thing moving. Let's move forward. Let's get our answers what we need to do. Let's educate our citizens, and let's do this. So I agree with moving forward with this resolution.
Mayor.
Councilmember Deedy.
So after all that talk, I remember what the other one was. So so the first time we went out for a safety levy, I think I've mentioned this before, it failed. And then the second time, it passed. And it has to all do with, you know, getting your community together, getting people that want to go out and doorbell, stand at Labor Day, at Miner's Day, at any of the events in Black Diamond, and educate the citizens, along with the council, doing work studies, open houses, along with the city putting in the newsletters, you know, what's going on. Here's information about why we're looking at this, why we need this levy. So there's a lot of components to it. And, you know, obviously council members can go out and doorbell as well. But it'll take a group effort to get out to everybody and explain why this needs to go forward. And, of course, you know, working with our newspapers to help get that information out as well.
Councilmember Page?
Well, I'll be the last one to speak. I'll reiterate some of what other council members have mentioned, but first I would like to say I'm continually impressed by Councilmember Stout, how thoughtful you are about the things that we have in front of us, and I really appreciated you putting all those thoughts together because I think it encompasses what all of us are thinking. So trying to not reiterate everything, I think the one point that is really important in my mind is we're making a decision that's a long-term decision. This city is changing whether you like it, whether you don't. It's a fact. This city is changing, and we're making a long-term decision. I think the study will help us to know what we don't know. It will help us to educate our constituents so that they understand the impact of the decisions that we're making going forward. And I think that's an education process for them and for us. And I think at the end of that, if we didn't do the study, I think we wouldn't be able to say we've checked off all those boxes. So that, for those reasons, I'm really supportive of doing the study. The other thing I want to mention is whatever the outcome is at the end of the study, I mean, we have a few years here that we're working with Mountain View, and I think we've had a positive relationship there. And I think we want to, as a council, treat that in a genuine manner and respect that that they've provided us great service. And if we need, you know, additional time, that we can work collaboratively with them to get through the study, get through the decision, and not rush the process. That's really important to me, that we don't rush the process. And so that's all my comments.
So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 20-1335, authorizing the mayor to move forward with soliciting and selecting a consultant to provide a study related to fire service options for the city.
Second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So it's... It's time for department reports. So we have a fire department report. Chief Smith.
Good evening, Council Mayor. Thank you for the discussion tonight. Probably the most discussion I've heard about the fire department and by the council in years, so I appreciate that. I think our board does too. So I gave you a couple handouts. I think the most, so I won't use a lot of your time. The one, the biggest thing here is the South King Cares program. This last Tuesday on the 14th, our Board of Fire Commissioners entered into an agreement with South King Fire and Valley Regional Fire Authority. That's Federal Way in Auburn to become part of their South King Cares program. And what that program does is what we look at is high acuity calls and those are and low acuity calls. So a low acuity call is something that's not an emergency. I mean, it's an emergency to the person that's calling us, right? But it's non, it's not life-threatening. And so we have call, and, you know, typically a lot of this happens with elderly people. They call because, you know, somebody will call because they have to help. They need help to get their wife back into bed or the husband back into bed, out of the car, into the house. So we go on those calls all the time. And, you know, we love doing that. That's part of our service, and that's what we want to do. But typically, we will see people that call us twice a month for those type of things. So obviously, they need some other help. So when our firefighters fill out the reports, they fill it out on a tablet now. So if they've gone to the house two or three times, when they get done, they can push a little button. And it'll send information to the South King Cares program, which are social workers. And then they will look at that information, and they can also access people's hospital records and doctor records, and so they can make an appointment with that person. The social worker will come out, fire department will come out with them, a couple of firefighters and the fire engine will show up with them, and see if we can get them some help outside the fire department, because a lot of times they do not know how to get help. So That's something we are going to start doing, and we're looking at maybe 40 instances a year we'll be doing this in the whole district. So it's a really good program, and I will give you updates on that, how that's working after we institute it. Probably be February before we get that started. Any questions on that?
Councilmember Staff.
How is it funded?
It's funded through, we just passed the new King County EMS levy. Part of those funds were set aside for programs just like this, but you have to have a certified program in order to use those funds. So that's why we're partnering with South King and Federal Way, because they already have the program. It's certified, and so those funds will go to them, and it'll help pay for that program. It doesn't come out of our regular budget. In fact, if you don't have the program, you just don't get the money. Any other questions on that? If you'd look at my report, we have a brand new reporting system that we just started that our firefighters use to enter their fire and EMS data. We just started that the first of the year, so I'm not completely familiar with it. So I'm trying to get in there and try to figure out how to bring these reports out that I usually give you. So looks like we had four fire incidents at Station 98 responded to since the first of the year. A couple of those were brush fires due to power lines going down. And we had one mutual aid call with the city of Enumclaw. 19 EMS calls. Hazardous condition. One of those just occurred the other night. We had a tree in the house right in downtown Black Diamond here. So what I did was I cut and pasted the report from the officer on the scene. You see it's on the back of the top here. So basically, a tree went into the house, a fairly large tree went in the house, and there was an initial report said that the reporter's son was trapped in the house. By the time we got there, the son had exited the house, but there was a gas leak, so we shut off the gas. Did a secondary search of the building to make sure there was nobody in there, and pretty much the emergency was done after that. PSE came out and the citizens said that they didn't need any other help, Red Cross assistance or anything like that. So you can see a picture of our volunteers at the bottom down there. Four volunteers graduated on the 9th, the night that we were here. One of those volunteers the next day received a job offer from Gig Harbor Fire Department. So he's no longer one of our volunteers. So we put him through the academy, but that's good. We like to see that. a lot of our volunteers get hired as career firefighters. And those are actually the volunteers that we seek because they make the best volunteers. Also in the middle there, you can see our the hours that our volunteers spend. And so if you look at Station 90, a total of 26,000 hours are spent by volunteers. That's just staffing the station. That does not include their training time. 16,000 hours of that time is spent staffing Station 98. So 62% of our volunteer staffing is incorporated at Fire Station 98. The next page, you can kind of see our all-district calls. There's another report there that gives you the information on our mutual aid. And in there, at the bottom, there is a chart that shows you all of our incidents for 2019. We had 2,200 overall calls in 2019, and a majority, you can see the big blue bar there. That's about 70% of our calls are EMS. That's our highest number of calls are emergency medical. And that's about all I have for you tonight, unless someone has a question. I look forward to working with you and speaking to your consultants, because I'm sure he'll want to spend some time with us. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other department reports? I did attend a few regional meetings, but I don't have anything to report. There wasn't anything significant at any of those meetings, so we're on to council reports. Councilmember Stout?
I just attended the routine meetings, the work study last week, where we did talk about our fire service and the funding. I attended a finance committee meeting, and actually, that's all. Thank you.
Councilmember De Leon?
Sure. I was able to attend my first planning meeting today, so that was a great start there. I would also mention that while I wasn't able to attend the work study most recently due to a work conflict, working like until midnight that night, I was able to catch up on the audio and listen to the great conversation that was had there. And I know that at least a few months ago, I was able to meet with the fire chief before and just at least get sort of my toes in the water on that. I do look forward to continuing that conversation, and especially when it's not conflicting with an inventory that goes on until midnight. So that'll be great. Another thing that I would mention is that is just part of something that I've been enjoying doing is I've been picking a street in Black Diamond, going down it and just talking with our neighbors about what's coming to mind. So that's part of my education. Just to continue to learn more about what's on people's minds. One of the biggest ones, of course, is just about the safety and quality of our roads, and it was great that Reagan Dunn was here today to be able to answer some of the questions that I know citizens were asking as well. Other things that came up that I'll just bring up just for maybe food for thought for future agenda items might include something about working on things with the fireworks ordinances, just that ongoing questions about roundabouts. People still have a lot of questions about the zoning around 169, so people are just hungry for that knowledge of what's going on in their community. And just more, I think, also on the future of our parks. So, and also about how local roads are going to be connecting with each other. So I can talk about that more in depth later, but I just wanted to pass on a little bit of the conversations I've been having with fellow Black Diamond residents.
Councilmember Nelson.
I was at the work study. That was a lot of fun. People forgot my name.
Sorry.
I spent today kind of going through the city. I went and met with Andy for a little bit, met the puppy. If you haven't met the puppy, go meet the puppy.
Haley. My name is Haley.
Haley is amazing. I met with some of the guys in the works department and kind of seen where they were at, and we kind of dodged a bullet with this storm where they were expecting to be called out with trees down and stuff. They didn't get it. I also did a ride along with Officer Chatterson, which was, that was fun. He's a good guy. I think that we definitely have an amazing police force. Some of the thoughts and the way he handled the residents and the people he pulled over, he's a top-notch guy. I never saw him lose his temper. I saw him smile. Everybody except for one shook his hand. And you know, just the discretion he used was probably some of the best I've seen. So you got a good guy there. Beyond that, I've just been getting excited to see what's going on. You did get an email about the grand opening of AT&T. I am working on their first net program, and I will be there on Friday. If you guys can make it, that'd be awesome. Tomorrow. That's
it. Councilmember Page?
Yeah, so I attended the finance meeting, the work session, and don't have a lot more to report. I'm glad that Regan Dunn was here to talk about some of what's on their plate. And I think the only other thing I would mention is that I'd like to kind of myself dive into a little bit more how we can look at how other cities or parks have managed their boat launch and lake access, because I can just tell you it's getting crazy out there on that lake in the summers, and somehow, you know, I think we have to manage that. It's a challenge for the police force to be out there in that as well. So that's just kind of a comment more than anything else.
Councilmember Deedy?
So I attended the community development planning meeting today, the joint work study with the Mountain View, and just a shout out to Public Works. They've been working behind the scenes preparing for all the storm. I think they were up like at 4:30 getting the roads ready and, you know, making it safe for all of us to venture out. One of the things that Regan Dunn had mentioned on his paper here was that he has a $5,000 for City of Black Diamond to fund youth and amateur sports. I'd love to see the city go out for that. Just for the, you know, the gym needs some help. You know, we have right now, we Maple Valley, seems like every coach in Maple Valley is over here. I know on Saturday it's booked for 8 hours, but there's basketball, soccer, baseball, volleyball, cheerleading, some skating, birthday parties, Christmas parties, all kinds of parties are happening in there. But a couple of things that the gym needs is some equipment, some new equipment. It also needs a deck, a new deck. The floors need to be redone. There's a lot of things that could be updated in that gym. The back doors could be redone. They're freezing. The air comes through there. So there is some things for that we could do with that grant for youth and amateur sports. But I'm also going to look at, you know, or hear other things that council or the staff may see needed. Also, I know, Andy, you mentioned that you'd like us to pass the parking thing, and I agree that it would be nice to pass it, but I think it'd be best to pass that at the next council meeting to go ahead and bring that forward. And then I would also, I don't think we need to vote on it, but just have a consensus to dissolve the council ad hoc committee, the fire ad hoc committee.
I think you have to make a motion.
Do we need to make a motion? Mm-hmm. So I'll make a motion that we dissolve the fire ad hoc council committee, and that no longer meets, and that all our meetings now with the fire department are a joint meeting with the full council and the fire department.
I second.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, that's all.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Attended the same meetings on the planning committee today with Barb and our fellow council members here. Also the special meeting we held with the fire department earlier this month. I don't know. That's all I have to report. Same things.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have an attorney report?
Just very briefly, I may be a little bit more difficult to get in touch with for the next few days, more difficult than usual. just because I'm going to Oklahoma for my grandmother's 105th birthday celebration this week.
So
I'm going to try to focus on that for the weekend. So.
All right. So now it's time for a second public comments. Those persons wishing to address council, please step up to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council?
Can I finish my statement?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Again, my name is Bambi Fuller, and of course, I'm going to start reading where I left off. About a year ago, council member De Leon and I worked with Maple Valley City Council and Tahoma School District to create an inclusivity and diversity proclamation. This was a simple yet effective first step in taking a stand. I strongly advocate that Black Diamond City Council follow suit. How powerful would it be to show a unified front from neighboring communities to stand against white nationalism? I implore you to stand up, call out, reject hate, fear-mongering, and oppression. I am calling on the City of Black Diamond Council and all community members to stand up with me and the rest of our group here tonight. I am not here to lob demands at the city or council, but rather extend my hand and say, let's work together. Let's do this hard, painful, but essential work together. A former boss once told me, if you think someone needs to do something about it, it's probably you that needs to do it. I have taken that call to action seriously. This is no one else's responsibility but our own. We cannot pass the buck on this because it's on all of us every day. A. Philip Randolph, a great African-American civil rights leader, once said, a community is democratic only when the humblest and weakest person can enjoy the highest civil, economic, and social rights that the biggest and most powerful possess. If this doesn't appeal to you from a standpoint of fighting for our humanity, it should appeal to you as a sound business investment. Black Diamond will continue to grow and become more diverse, and businesses will not embrace a community that does not honor and protect this diversity. Cultural competence is at the core of many value statements. We have the opportunity to offset our ever-increasing tax burden by soliciting businesses that are looking for the inclusive values that Black Diamond has the potential to uphold. We need to stand together and make our town safe, desirable, and attractive for all residents and revenue. The first step is to loudly, without hesitation, reject hate and actively fight for inclusion. Will you stand up with me? Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Robin?
Robin Taylor, Black Diamond. I appreciate you finally passing a resolution to have the fire study. My husband in 2015 was on the council. He was voted out for 2016, but before he left, he pressured the budget into having money put in there for a fire study. That was for the 2016 budget. So here we are, 2020. We finally have passed to have a fire study done. You can rest assured that when you have an official fire study, that will be part of your educational materials to your citizens, because that is the rock you're standing on to prove your point that this needs to be done and this is the way it needs to be done. So we knew back then that it was going to be an educational opportunity for the citizens, because it's going to be a big move. But I appreciate the fact. I wish Ron could have been here tonight to see you finally pass this, but he was unable to be here. But I will pass it along that finally there's going to be a fire study. So thank you for that. It's much appreciated.
Is there any, Jana?
Hello, Council Mayor. Jana Thompson, Black Diamond. There's probably 2 inches of snow at my house right now. It was jumping when I left, so I'm, like, anxious to get home. But anyway, I wanted to also say I'm really happy that the fire study is happening. when Tammy Didi was talking about the levies that happened, the levy that passed 10 years ago, I chaired that levy, and it didn't pass the time before that because there wasn't an educational component to the city. So again, I just think your suggestion of making sure that there's money set aside to create information, to push that information out, to get people involved, to create a campaign is just an essential part of that, and just looking at what modeling out it after what a school district does. I'm just suggesting that because the city hasn't run a levy in 10 years. So I'm just suggesting that we don't necessarily have a template for how to run a successful levy, so that you might want to look at a template from the school districts and how they do it, because there is a role of the city that is different than the role of the committee. So the role of the city is to educate. The role of the yes committee is to get people to vote yes. And those are two different roles, and all the council members can be on part of both roles. So anyway, I'm really happy to see that this is finally moving forward. Also, because when that levy did pass 10 years ago, most of the money for that went to the police department. And at that time, 10 years ago, we were saying we need another levy in the near future that addresses the fire department. And that just hasn't happened. So it is really time to make that happen so that Black Diamond is paying its fair share of fire services. So thank you very much, and it's just such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And I think that it needs to be said tonight that the fire ad hoc committee has been around for, I think it was 7 years. And as was noted, in 2015, there was a push to put money in the budget to do a study. That study was never brought to the council, or the proposal, the follow-up to actually do the study was not brought to the 2016-2017 council. 2 years have passed, 2018, 2019, we're into 2020. So this idea that we're going to keep blaming everything on a past council is really tired and inaccurate. It's been years. If you want to address fire department issues, do so, but take responsibility. It's not the fault of a past council. It's the problem of the city now, and it's been a number of years, much coming before and after a council that was blamed unfairly for something that was never brought to them. And again, what have you been doing for the last 2 years if this is such a concern? Now you're going to spend money on another study. Maybe you need to look at putting that money toward the fire department and solve this problem. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Janie?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. It's kind of different being over here. I'm Janie Edelman. I've lived in Black Diamond for 30 years, and I grew up in Bellevue. I come tonight to provide some accounting of activities of organizations like Save Black Diamond, Trees, and whatever other names are being used. Since 2013, there have been huge costs associated with defending the city. Legal costs have been the highest. Over $52,000 in legal reviews of PDRs, almost $9,000 in lawsuits for the city attorney. The OPMA lawsuit was a whopping $257,000. Arbitration and mitigation, over $18,000. The comp plan appeal was $45,000. 10 trail appeals, $33,000. And then there were other lawsuit charges of $19,000. This comes to a total of $259,463 of Black Diamond taxpayer money. Think fire truck. There also is an outstanding Jane Kohler lawsuit that, if she prevails, could cost the taxpayers approximately another $80,000. And this does not include any of the expenditures for the Dave Gordon Christy Todd settlement. As you may or may not know, Gordon was a Save Black Diamond candidate, elected mayor, who was in office less than a year and left under a dark cloud of a sexual harassment suit, which we did have to settle and pay. Since 2013, when I was sworn in as a council member, there have been 218 PDRs from various Save Black Diamond people. This amounts to about 30% of all PDRs received by the city. What cannot be tabulated is the staff costs to respond to these excessive PDRs, most of which were frivolous. And as I went through over 100 pages of the PDR log, there are multiple PDRs that there's multiple pages of status because the information that's requested is so huge that it can't be done in a single response. Some of these, there's at least one that's been probably 5 or 6 years now, which was never pulled back. It is one thing as a citizen of the city to voice your concern. Citizens pay taxes and need to have their voices heard. What is not right is a non-resident coming into town, portraying herself as an expert in all things concerning land use and environmental issues. How can you be an expert in all these fields? The city hires the real experts. These people are not looking out for the best interests of the city or saving Black Diamond. If they were, they wouldn't waste our staff's time and money. The MPD fight was lost 10 years ago. And in case you haven't noticed, Ten Trails is building like crazy. The last two appeals by these groups were dismissed in their entirety.
Your time is up.
I have one more sentence. It is time for Kristen Bryant, Save Black Diamond, Trees, or whatever other groups go away and let the citizens of Black Diamond determine our destiny, not an outsider. Thank you.
In this role, yes. And it's wonderful.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. We have no executive session. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.